Yo, what's up, everyone? This is Buzzer Beaters, a podcast brought to you by GremlingsMedia.com. I am Eddie Aparicio, and this is my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral. We are also known as the Cisco Kids. If you haven't listened to us, this is our 35th episode, right? So we've been doing this for quite some time now. And, you know, we actually are, the way we kind of go about doing this is we essentially do three topics, spend about an hour total. Sometimes we go a little bit over, sometimes we go a little bit under, but most of the times we go over. Very rarely do we go under. But you can find us on gremlingsmedia.com. You can also find us at normal podcast outlets that you go to, you know, Spotify, Google, Apple, Pandora, Facebook, X, any of those. You just go ahead and type up Gremlings Media and you should be able to find us. You can also, the name also is Buzzer Beater. But anyway, what we're going to talk about this week is, you know, the last few weeks we've been talking about the teams that the top four teams in the East and the West. And we also talked about some of the surging teams this week because the trade deadline is actually coming up, right? We're about 8 days, 9 days away from the trade deadline. We're going to talk about some of the teams that are in need of doing a trade. So we're going to spend some time on that first. And then the second topic that we're going to talk about is something that we started about 4 weeks ago. And it's a quest to determine the best one-on-one player of all time. That's one, but also the best divisional team of all time. And it's been a fun process in getting there. We've actually covered three divisions already. So the first division we covered was the Southwest Division of the Western Conference. We talked about the Southeast Division of the Eastern Conference. And then last week, we talked about the Pacific Division. And from all of those, we've yielded some teams that we'd like to invite you to go listen into on that. But last week, we covered the Pacific Division, and the best one-on-one player that came from that group is Kobe Bryant. And we had Kobe Bryant from the Lakers, Blake Griffin from the Clippers, Steph Curry from the Warriors, and Oscar Robertson from the Kings, and then Steve Nash from the Suns. This week, we're going to go ahead and focus on the Central Division of the Eastern Conference. So we're going to talk about the Cavs, the Bucks, the Pacers, the Pistons, and the Bulls. We're going to go, Tuan and I have to, you know, we have to choose one person. Yes. There have been in past podcasts, we had disagreements, but we had to kind of listen to each other's position as to why we thought that player deserved to be the one chosen from that franchise. We probably may not have that as much this week because of some of the teams that we already have in the Central Division, but we're going to go ahead and continue that quest. And we're probably going to finish this thing up probably in about 3 weeks. And then we're going to have kind of like this tournament. And then we're going to figure out who the best starting five of all time from a division standpoint, as well as the best one-on-one player of all time from an overall standpoint. So, and then the last segment, it's always what we kind of do is we have this kind of fantasy contest between us. We have a rookie fantasy league that Torn and I drafted players, you know, four from the first round and one from the second round. And then we've been keeping track of all of their stats, just like a fantasy league, and then we're kind of seeing how we're doing against each other. And then the other thing is we have a conference seedings. We made predictions at the very beginning of the season to see, you know, how accurate we were going to be based on the actual standing. So we have been doing that on a week-to-week basis, and it's been fluctuating big time. So, let's go ahead and get started, Tuan. By the way, how you been, man? How's everything been, man?
I've been good. You know, when you mentioned the 35th show, I'm starting to lose my amateur status here, bro.
Isn't it crazy? 35 episodes, man. That's crazy. We've been doing this for this long, man. You know,
and they haven't kicked me out yet. I must be doing something.
Dude, the producer of the show asked me to bring somebody, you were the first guy on my list, man. You know, we did this anyway, you know, when we got together for lunch, right? We get together for lunch since, 2015 when the Warriors won their first championship. And, you know, you and I have been friends since, we were 15, 16 years old, man. It's been a long time, right? And now we are at the right
base. What was that, 1986? 87,
87. Yeah, right around that time frame is when I knew you, bro. And then we started coaching teams together and all that, right? So we have a long history, and hoops has always been the central part of our conversations, right? And our not necessarily our relationship, but that's mainly our conversations. You know, when we get together for lunch. And by the way, one thing I want to mention is we are live, and we're live here for reasons because we want to hear from you. We want to get your feedback. We want to get your comments, your questions. We've been getting a lot of those recently, and I think a lot of people liked this one-on-one topic that we've been talking about, because the last few shows have been probably our most viewed shows in quite some time. So keep those questions and comments coming. But anyway, Tuan, so I was just giving the history of how we know each other and stuff, but you know, hoops has been kind of our talk, right? That's what we've been talking about. And when they asked me to bring somebody, you're the first guy, because that's what we've been doing. And it's been natural, man. We've been doing this for 35 episodes now, man. And I think the way we answer a little bit too.
I remember when you and I first started chatting about this, I remember I'd go out every season and buy the Street and Smiths. Remember the Street and Smiths magazine?
Yeah.
Is that even around anymore? I go get that.
I don't think so, man. I don't know. The magazines, you don't see that much anymore. It's all online stuff now, man.
86 was Jordan's second year in the league, bro.
Dang, man. Isn't that trip, man? That's how long we've been. That's how long.
That's prime Bird magic right there.
Yeah, exactly, man. So let's get to it, man. Let's go ahead and talk about the first topic. So the first topic we want to talk about are some of the teams in need of making a trade. Now, I went ahead and chose like three teams in the East and three teams in the West. And how I went about doing this one is I looked, you know, like the previous 2 weeks, we looked at the teams that were, you know, the top four in each conference, right? It was very easy to pick those top four because that's who they are, right? Then we looked at the surging teams, and we looked at the surging teams because we looked at their last 10 and looked at how well they were doing the last 10. And I'm like, okay, can these guys compete and be a threat to the top four? That was kind of the stance that we took for last week's show. Yep. This week's show, we're looking at the trend of teams that are in dire need of making a trade because they're kind of slipping, you know, or maybe the last 10, they're not doing as well, or they start out really, really hot and have just kind of tapered big time, just like our Golden State Warriors, right? So, what I did is the teams that I wanted to kind of talk to you about first, the first team I want to talk about in the East are the Atlanta Hawks. Okay. The Atlanta Hawks are 22 and 23 right now. They're the ninth seed in the Eastern Conference. They're right now 4-6 in their last 10. This team is definitely more competitive, you know, and I thought they weren't going to be competitive once they got up DeJounte Murray, right? Because we thought, okay, this is the sign of the end for these guys. But Jalen Johnson has emerged, and then Dyson Daniels came from that trade from the DeJounte Murray, and that guy's been a fit big time. Okay, so
Jalen Johnson's out for the season, right?
I don't know if he's out for the season. I know that he's hurt. I just don't know if he's out for the season or not.
No, I think he tore.
He's got a shoulder issue.
Yeah, he tore his labrum or something, I want to say.
Oh, he's out.
I think he's out for the season.
Oh, man. So they definitely need to make a move, man. So that's a good thing that you brought that up, man. But, you know, if you look at their overall starting five, right, they have, you know, Dyson Daniels, Trae Young. Now they had Jalen Johnson, Onyeka Okongwu, who sometimes started and sometimes you had Clint Capella as well. But they have these other three guys off the bench that come up, you know, Bogdanovich, Vic Krejci, and Garrison Matthews. They're all kind of similar type of players. They're kind of streaky kind of shooters, not necessarily the most athletic guys. You know, to me, it screams that they need to make a move, right? I think that Clint Capella is somebody I thought we would get traded, you know, especially in the offseason because of this guy Okongwu emerging. But, you know, I think he's got an attractive contract at $22.2 million right now. It's expiring, and he's still a valuable piece. You know, he could definitely do some good on some teams. And then you got Bogdan Bogdanovich, who you know is $16 million. You know, and DeAndre Hunter is roughly about $23 million. These guys, DeAndre Hunter is another guy that comes off the rotation. He's actually a pretty good player too, but he's been hurt in and out, right? So I think that they can package and make a pretty good, you know, proposal to get somebody like a Jimmy Butler, because a Jimmy Butler, I think, would be good for this team, because this team, I think, lacks a little heart. They lack a little drive, man. And I think they need somebody like Jimmy Butler to keep them in line. What are your thoughts, bro? I just wanted to kind of frame it, you know, as to why I chose these.
Yeah. Guys. Well, I want to. So the way when we talked about this or talked about our topics for this week, kind of the way that I was looking at this is, you know, you make a trade, in my opinion, or at least one where you're going to part with people. Now, the players that you mentioned in Atlanta, they're veterans or they're players that have been around for a while. So I can see you kind of making those moves to try to get a little better.
Right.
But I do, for a minute, if you'll forgive me, Eddie, I want to get on my soapbox here for a second.
Do it, man. Do your soapbox. Come on, soapbox. It's all good, so bro.
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
So I want to talk you through one TV show and one podcast that I watched. Did you happen to watch the Inside the NBA when they were talking about Jimmy Butler?
Yes, okay. I did.
I want to talk about that for a minute because you know, anyone who knows us, or at least the way I see our relationship, is I'm the more emotional one. You've always been the more low key stable. So I need you to talk me through this, because I'm really not understanding something.
Okay.
So do it. So the guys are on the show. Okay. Yep. And basically what ends up happening is Shaq starts the position that if Miami doesn't want Jimmy Butler, they should just let him go. And right. And that Jimmy Butler shouldn't give his A effort because of his age and because he might get hurt and they're not going to win a championship and so on and so forth.
Right.
So as he's giving that position, Shaq and Kenny are kind of like, what are you talking about? He's making 40-something million dollars this year. He'll be making 52
million next year. Yeah, you're talking about Chuck and Kenny. Chuck and Kenny were disputing Shaq, right?
Chuck and Kenny, yeah. They were kind of like, what are you – and then Ernie gets in, which Ernie never gets in.
Yeah.
And Ernie's like, don't you think he owes it to the fans?
To the franchise, right.
To the franchise.
Be professional, man.
And Shaq is like, no. Like, you know, if it was me, I wouldn't give – you know, like he wanted to say something like balls out, but he said something like, I wouldn't give it at all. Right.
Yeah.
Help me. You know, the first thing that I thought of, okay, there's a couple things that I thought of here. And I want you to maybe, I don't know if you can understand Shaq's side, but maybe help me try to understand his thinking. All right. So when we talk about the greatest players ever, Shaq's name never comes up. Right.
Yes.
It just doesn't. Right. It's LeBron. Right. And Jordan.
Well, it did in Orlando. We picked him as the best from the
No.
Orlando
I'm talking about
franchise.
the greatest of all time.
Okay.
Yeah. He's probably fifth or sixth. And you and I have had many arguments about my belief that Shaq's greatest talent is that he's 350 pounds and moves around like he's 6'1". You know. But But I'm thinking, dude. No wonder you're not the greatest. Look at your attitude, bro. Like, look at the way you see the world. Like somehow they owe you.
What's interesting, bro, is the way I took what Shaq was trying to say. Yeah. I don't think he was trying to condone Jimmy Butler's behavior. I think he was trying to give the rationale for Jimmy Butler's behavior. But it came across like he was trying to condone his behavior. Do you know what I'm saying? I think he was just trying to convey. And I think he probably didn't convey it because he got a little passionate about it. He's like, hey, look, man, you know, yeah, I'm under contract, but I think I deserve more money, right? So in his mind, he's thinking like Jimmy Butler, you know, I know I'm better than this. You know, I've done a lot for this franchise, and I know I have a contract, but, man, I feel like I'm worth more, man. You know, and I think what he was trying to say is that the Miami Heat, rather than saying, hey, yeah, Jimmy Butler, you know what? You know, we're good by you, man. We'll work this out, right? They're like, screw you, man. You're under contract, man. Screw you. You know, you're under contract. You have to play out your, you know, what your current contract is. And that's what our stance is. And I think that's what Shaq was trying to convey.
Okay.
And, you know, and I think, like I said, he was not condoning it. He was trying to convey the rationale behind Jimmy Butler's behavior, right? I'm not saying it's right or wrong. All I'm saying is that I think that's what he was trying to illustrate. And the way Kenny and Chuck responded was they probably thought, hey, Chuck, what are you talking about, man? Why are you giving this guy any, like, you know, why are you giving him any, you know, platform for this? He shouldn't be doing this. He should be playing out his freaking, you know, contract, right? He's got to be professional, right? He's 35 years old, man. You know, that's where it kind of got lost, is I think that, you know, it looks like we got a
question.
Yeah, someone here. Oh, look at you two goofballs. Jimmy Butler way over the hill and a PETA. I know who that is.
A pain in the ass.
What's up, Peckerhead? Thanks for listening, brother.
PETA's a pain in the ass. That's what that means. Peckerhead would know what a PETA is. But anyway.
Yeah.
So, right. Okay, so you're thinking his position was he's not defending. He's trying to put everybody in the mindset that Jimmy Butler.
Correct. He's trying to, he says, you're welcome. All right. Thanks, Peckerhead. Go back to bed, bro. It's past your bedtime, man.
Yeah.
All right.
So, but if you look at Shaq's career, right? And again, I'm going to just quickly, I know I'm taking us off track here. When Shaq left the Lakers.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the reasons he left the Lakers was because they had to choose, because Kobe was like, I'm not having it with Shaq anymore. Shaq doesn't practice. Shaq's not committed. Shaq this, Shaq that. Right?
Right. Right.
Shaq left. He won one with Miami. Probably yep. short term thought that he got the better of the two equations. But then Kobe, they made a trade for Pau Gasol. And all of a sudden, Kobe won, I believe, two more, which got one ahead of Shaq. Right?
Right.
But
right.
When I look at Shaq's behavior, it is reflective of what he's saying. Like,
yeah, I hear you. I can totally hear you, man.
A straight line. Yeah,
I get it, bro. I get it. I looked at it from a different lens, man. I didn't look at it as the lens that you were looking at it. And, maybe I may have looked at it differently if I kind of recalled that whole experience with Shaq and the Lakers, him kind of not taking his practices seriously and trying to, sit out a lot of practices when Kobe's, always on and driving and driving and driving, right? I mean, he's notorious for being, having this work ethic, right? And I think, Shaq wore on him a little bit, and that's probably part of the source of their fights, when they kind of had their feuds. But I just think Shaq was trying to illustrate why Butler may be acting the way he is, and Butler probably responded because he didn't get the reaction that he wanted from the Miami Heat. And that's why he's like, screw that, I'm out, right? Yep. When, Chuck and Kenny were saying, dude, this guy's got to be professional, bro. He's got a contract. He's got to play out his contract. Yeah. He knows, he's already got something. He's got to play it. If they want it, he wants an extension, he should be showing up and being professional about it, not trying to leverage the team right now to get it. That's what I heard, right? So,
I want to take you to the second example. All right.
Okay.
So now I'm watching the podcast. It's Gilbert Arenas, and Gilbert Arenas has a podcast, and there's four guys total. And I don't remember who the other two guys were. It was Nick Young and Swaggy P. And so the three guys, Gilbert and the other two guys, were basically saying this. It had just come out that the Miami Heat has suspended Jimmy Butler indefinitely. Right. Yep. And so they're talking about that. And basically their three position was, well, Jimmy Butler kept pushing the issue.
Yep.
And they said, that's enough. You're suspended. Right? Now, in this whole thing that came out, there's been a lot of kind of things that have been revealed. Like Jimmy Butler never stays at the team hotel. He always stays at a mansion or somewhere else. He never flies with the team. He always flies separately.
He's like a diva.
Exactly. Exactly. So he's been giving these perks. Okay. And now when everything's getting serious, what happens? The perks go away. Right? Now you got to stay in the hotel. Now you got to fly with the team. And Nick Young is like not understanding this for the life of him, Eddie. He's like, well, I don't understand. If they let him do it before, why is it a problem now? And the three guys are going, dude, it's like your girl. You're with your girl and she's letting you do whatever you want. All of a sudden you cheat on her. You expect her to still let you do what, everything that you wanted to do before? No. Crap goes away. And so the reason I bring this up is I look at Shaq and I look at Nick Young and I'm going, dude, where have we gotten? Like, is this really what these guys think and feel? Like, are they so spoiled to the degree? I mean, I know we're talking a lot of money, but man, it was a big turn. It was a big turnoff. I'm looking at these, and Nick Young was nobody like in particular. But I'm sitting there going, man, you guys are all out of whack.
I mean, there's definitely some truth to what maybe Jimmy Butler, what Shaq was trying to convey in Jimmy Butler's attitude. And maybe, it might be deep down inside the way he is, but I just think that he was trying to convey a position so that everybody understands why he might be doing this. I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. That's what I think he was just trying to do. So
the reason I kind of went off topic here is to get back to your
Atlanta Hawks.
To the Atlanta Hawks, right?
Yep.
Dude, I'm telling you, Eddie, I'm a GM on any team. The last guy I want on my team is Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, because he is a disruptive force, right?
Well, it's a repetitive behavior.
He
did it in Philadelphia. Now he's doing it at Miami. And how many games do you expect he's going to play for $50-something million?
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. It's $50 million, man. That's hard. It's a hard pill to swallow. I think a lot of people just remember the Jimmy Butler, Jimmy Buckets of, 2 to 3 years past where he just carried the Miami Heat in the playoffs. But he always, as the older we get, then the more injury prone we get.
Right? Absolutely.
So that's the risk that you run in bringing him on the team. I'm just bringing him up as a potential fit for the Hawks because the Hawks, I think, are kind of a softer team. And I think they need somebody like him to kind of get them on track because the Hawks are definitely playing way better than in the past, right? So, you know, they definitely have some talent and young talent in Jalen Johnson, who's the 20th pick, man, right? Yeah. And this guy is like he's a really good player. And, you know, it's unfortunate that he might be lost for the season based on what you're talking about, right? So they have to fill in that void. So they need to make a move, right? Now, you know, even more so now. Now, you know, it's
I'm with you. So the player that Jimmy Butler was or what he represents, yes, I think that Atlanta could. But I'm thinking of this from a needs perspective, and I'm kind of looking at this from an organizational perspective. Number one, Jimmy Butler ain't going to go to Atlanta unless they give him a new contract, right? And that new contract is going to have to be more than $50 million a year, right? Because he opts in for that 1 year, right?
Right.
So when you take the apron and you take the talent, like, you're kind of screwing your organization, you know, because now I don't know what Trae Young's going to make. I don't know when he's due, you know, but at some point, you know, you're going to have to pay them. You're really hamstringing your organization. You know, Jimmy Butler needs to understand, hey, dude, I'm not the guy that I was.
Yeah, but it's tough, dude, for any like star athlete to accept that they're no longer the same guy. Dude, all of them go through that process. It's a hard thing to swallow, man. Every one of them, man. I don't think there has been one pro athlete that has really taken that, you know, kind of, you know, the taking into consideration and being like, hey, you know, I am kind of getting old. You know what? I should do the right thing for the team. That's far and few in between, man. There's a reason why they are who they are, right? It drives them, right?
I agree.
So, yeah.
I agree. In order to be that great, most great athletes have to have an ego that's out of this world. In order to have that ego, you have to believe yourself when nobody else does. And correct. I'm sure that Jimmy Butler is in that mindset as much as anyone. But, dude, at some point, you got to look at reality, bro.
Yeah, I hear you, man. So, but, yeah, you know, I get it, man. So, but, you know, Jimmy Butler was a guy I thought would be a good fit for the Atlanta Hawks.
If you can get Jimmy Butler at his age for, say – $24 million a year? Absolutely agree with you, Eddie.
Yeah, it's not going to be $24
million. No, but what I'm saying is, then I absolutely agree with you.
Correct. I know what you're saying.
Jimmy Butler under the current circumstances, it's going to destroy your organization because you're going to be paying a guy like he's your future star when his names are counted. You know, I don't know what his per year games played are, but dude, you can't expect more than 60, 65 games out of that dude.
No, I know. I hear you. Yeah. Well, you know, if Jimmy Butler's not the guy for the Atlanta Hawks, I think somebody else that could fit for them is a Brandon Ingram.
Yes. Like
Brandon Ingram would be.
But he doesn't possess the aggressive nature.
He does not have that. He's kind of on the softer side.
I agree with you 150% that Atlanta needs that guy, right? They need that Draymond Green, Patrick Beverley, Jimmy Butler. Like, get in there and I'm going to kick some ass and, you know.
Yes.
And we're not taking
a little bit more attitude, man. I agree with
that 100%. You know. But if Jimmy Butler is willing to concede where he is now in his career, then sure, have at it, brother.
He ain't going to do it, bro.
But if you pick him up, it's going to cost your organization.
It's a risk that any GM who wants to try and take their team over the top has to take in order to take on the persona of a Jimmy Butler at the price and at the age, right? It's a risk. No matter where he goes, it's a risk.
There's a reason these people are up for trades, right? Because there's a risk.
Right,
but if I'm taking a risk and I'm Atlanta, I'd rather go see what can I do to get Zion.
I don't know if Zion's a fit for them, but I think they need a Jalen Johnson-esque type player with a little bit more attitude. I don't know if Zion's that type of player as far as the attitude. You know,
maybe how about a Julius Randle?
Julius Randle is. I think Julius Randle would be, but he's kind of. They already have Onyeka Okongwu. They already have kind of a Clint Capella. They have Larry Nance. You know, maybe they could reunite, you know, because they played for the Lakers together. You know, he could be. It's interesting because Julius Randle is definitely being kind of a name that's been thrown out by, you know, for the Miami Heat, right? Yep. So they could be interested in him as well. So But let's just focus on the Atlanta Hawks first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
We'll dovetail into the other teams. But anyway,
I took us off track, brother. I know.
No worries. So the Atlanta Hawks is somebody I thought. Another team that I thought was in need of a trade is the Orlando Magic. The Orlando Magic have gone 3-7 just 2 weeks ago. Man, we had these guys. They were the top four. When we were covering the top four teams in the conference, they were number four. They're now number seven, right? They've gone 3-7. This team is reintegrating their star players in Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero. Those guys have come back. They have come back with a vengeance, but these teams have to kind of figure out how to work together again from a chemistry standpoint, because it had been so long that they were functioning pretty well without these guys. And now when, you know, these guys come back, the coaches want to get those guys the ball more often, right? So the movement, you know, of the ball kind of gets limited a little bit more. It kind of is a little bit more iso ball for these guys because they're their best players. But, you know, these guys are in dire need of offense, right? We talked about they had the 28th ranked offense, you know, in the league at least 3 weeks ago. And I don't know where it's at right now, but these guys need to go ahead and make a move. They are in a rut offensively. And the thing is that they have a lot of good pieces, I think, that are attractive, okay? They have guys like Jonathan Isaac, although he has been injury prone, but he's like 6'10", long as hell, a very good defensive player. He's kind of a 3-and-D guy. And then they also have, you know, guys like Cole Anthony, Wendell Carter, Goga Bitadze. I mean, Cole Anthony, you know, Greg Anthony's son.
Yep.
All of these guys, I think they need to make a move. And a guy that I thought would be a great fit for him would be bringing back Nikola Vucevic, man. Nikola Vucevic started with the Orlando Magic.
Okay.
Right? And I thought he was a really good player and for the Orlando Magic. And then he got dealt to the Bulls. And then, you know, they thought that the Bulls with Lonzo Ball, him, and Zach LaVine were going to be something. And this is it never came about. And, you know, Nikola Vucevic is only $21 million a year, man. All right. And this guy is a pretty skillful center. You know, I think bringing somebody back like him, I think would help this offense. If you can have a Nikola Vucevic, Franz Wagner, and Paolo Banchero all together. And then you have, you know, the guys like Caldwell Pope. You have Wendell Carter, Tristan Da Silva, Anthony Black. And these guys are all defensive minded guys, and they just need a little bit of influx of offense. Okay. Man. And I actually like that
trade for them. Who would you give up for Vucevic?
So in order to make I think that it would have to be somebody like, you know, like a Jonathan Isaac along with Goga Bitadze, I think would be a one, because that matches up to be about $23 million, and then Nikola Vucevic is about 21. So they would probably have to throw in some kind of other guy to make it work. But that's what I would, or have like Cole Anthony and somebody else, because Cole Anthony is roughly about $13.1 million. So you need somebody else like about $8 million to go along with Cole Anthony to make that work. And I'm, you know, I didn't look at the entire roster to figure that out, but I just think that would be a good move for them.
Actually, I like that, Eddie. I actually like that trade for them, you know, depending on who they give up. You know, obviously the organizational side of my mind is like, well, you know, if Chicago's going to give them up, they're probably going to want someone whose contract is at end of the year, right? Like it'll expire, expiring contract, or maybe one more year. I don't know the situation on some of the players that you mentioned. But in terms of just the skill set, yeah, I think he would do – that would be very helpful for the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I have a list of all the expiring contracts. Nikola Vucevic is not on there. Or free agents. Free agents or expiring contracts. And there's a big list of players out there. Names that I can throw out there. You know, Julius Randle, we already talked about him. James Harden, Brandon Ingram, Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, Fred VanVleet. Of course, Jimmy Butler. Malcolm Brogdon, Brooke Lopez. There's a lot of names out there that I think are going to be involved in some kind of a trade. I think it's going to, you know, it's been very quiet leading up to, you know, in the next 8 days or 9 days when this the trade deadline's coming. But there's going to be a lot of movement, man, because, you know, a lot of teams are, you know, they're out of it. And these teams that are out of it want to rebuild. And they have some, you know, high priced guys that probably could help other teams get over the hump. And you know, Nikola Vucevic, I think would be a great fit for the Orlando Magic.
No, so I'm with you. I agree. I think.
All right, cool.
I think that would be a great addition.
All right, so the next team in the East that I picked were the Chicago Bulls. Okay, we talked about two of their players already in Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic, but these guys are 19 and 27. They've gone 2-8 and they're 10th in the conference, right? Now, you know, they're only really five games behind being, you know, behind Orlando Magic. So they're not that far behind them. This team has some attractive pieces because they have, like I already mentioned, Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic, and they made that trade, remember, in the offseason to get Josh Giddey in exchange for Alex Caruso, right? And at the time, we're like, whoa, man, they got fleeced. But Josh Giddey's actually been playing pretty well for these guys, right? So, you know, they have other guys, I think, like, you know, they have Ayo Dosunmu, who's a very good defensive-oriented guy. Of course, they have Lonzo Ball, who's been – he hasn't played for, like, 2 years, and he's actually come back and looks pretty decent. And then they have the guy that they drafted, your guy from your fantasy team, Matas Vucelis. He's actually looking pretty good. He's in the slam dunk contest, too, by the way. Did you know that? He's in the slam dunk contest. Yeah, so we're going to see this guy's skills. But, you know, these guys, I think, need to be more defensive-minded, and I think they're definitely going to be rebuilding. But, you know, a trade target, I thought, that would be good for them would be Andrew Wiggins, man. Andrew Wiggins, because Andrew Wiggins is $28 million. And again, this is bad for me to bring up a guy from our team. I'm just looking at just from a, you know, I'm not trying to be, you know, a homer in this case, right? But I think, you know, the Warriors definitely need a Nikola Vucevic. And I think we're going to get to the Warriors later, but somebody like a Nikola Vucevic would be a good fit for the Warriors. Although, you know, the emergence of Quentin Post could maybe kind of limit that a little bit now, but Nikola Vucevic is a better version of Quentin Post, right? I mean, he just is.
Yes.
And then,
more seasoned version, at least at this point.
Right, right. And then so you get, you know, Ayo Dosunmu, you know, and Nikola Vucevic would make that trade work, right? That would be a trade. And Andrew Wiggins, you know, he makes his team a lot better defensively as it stands because these guys are not that good defensively, right? They're just not. Zach LaVine is another guy that's also very attractive on the team. But the thing is, that guy's got a $43 million contract, man. $43 million a year, right? And that's a tough pill to swallow for some of these GMs. Although he's very, very, very talented. He's an alpha dog from an offensive standpoint. But that's all you're going to get is just offense, right? So that's who I thought, you know, the Chicago Bulls could probably target, someone like Andrew Wiggins. What are your thoughts in general? I mean,
for the Chicago Bulls, I mean – the problem with the Bulls is they really, outside of maybe White, they don't really have anyone they can build around. They don't They don't have a foundation. And so if I'm them, dude, I'm just having a fire sale. Like, who do you want? Give me a pick. You know, like however I can get expiring contracts and give me a pick. Because obviously they're not, to me, they're trading to start anew, not trading to get better.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. I mean, if anything, they would trade for picks. Right.
Correct. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, for example, like, I think the Andrew Wiggins suggestion you brought up is not a bad one because Andrew Wiggins is a agreeable player. You know, he's not going to rock the boat.
Yeah.
So I think he would be someone that, you know, he could help some sort of younger generation come in.
Yep.
But yeah, if I'm the Bulls, I'm just like, who do you want? Like, outside of White, maybe that's the only guy that really I don't think I'm trading.
Yeah, and I think they would have traded Josh Giddey too, because I think he's been a revelation for those guys. He's actually been
But you know, I'd like to see him do it more than once, right?
Yeah, I hear you. But he's actually done a lot, but he's actually shooting a lot better too, which is a part of the reason why OKC got rid of him, is because, you know, the teams in the playoffs were sagging off the guy and he wasn't shooting very well. But he's definitely worked at it, and he's a really good playmaker, man. I mean, you probably saw the game against the Warriors. I mean, he racked up about 12 assists that night. I mean, he's a good point guard, and he's a matchup nightmare because he's 6'8". So, but you have him and Kobe White are probably and Patrick Williams, because they did sign Patrick Williams to a long term kind of contract. He's a defensive kind of a 3-and-D guy, although he's been injured a lot of his career, unfortunately. But maybe those are three pieces that you stay and then try and rebuild around and get some draft picks and Andrew Wiggins or somebody else. But in my opinion, I think Nikola Vucevic is gone. I'd be surprised if he's still there. I'd be also very surprised if Zach LaVine is still on the team. Although that price tag is pretty high for $43 million, that's a big risk. And I think only a team like maybe a Denver Nuggets, you know, because they're another team that is going to dovetail into the West as one of the teams that I picked. But anyway, so those are my thoughts as far as like guys that I thought would be a good target for the East. Man, so.
No, I think you've picked some good teams. The one team that I would add to that mix that I think is time to really took a deep look, and that's the Philadelphia 76ers.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. Did you know Embiid kind of wants to have he wants to get rid of Paul George, man. Or like he was hinting that Paul George was really a good fit, right? So he wants to bring back Jimmy Buckets. Jimmy Buckets. Well, he's trying to get Jimmy Buckets back.
I mean, if you want to do that, that's fine. I think that Embiid is part of the problem.
Well, he's not. He hasn't played that much this season.
Yeah, not part of the solution. I agree. And if I'm Philadelphia, like if I'm a Sixers fan, I'm a little sad because you got McCain and you got Maxey, right? Yeah. Which I think is definitely your future. You know, Maxey's definitely something you can build around. But I just think that, you know, Paul George is a good player. So, like, if you told me –
He's always hurt, too, though.
Huh?
He's always hurt, too.
No, agreed. But what I'm saying is, if you told me, would you rather have Embiid or would you rather have Paul George, right?
Embiid. I mean, Embiid is a better player.
I'd rather have Paul George just because Embiid is not only gets hurt, but he also kind of is disruptive.
He's worn out. I think he's worn out his welcome in Philadelphia. I think that the fans have turned on him a little bit this year. And maybe that's part of the reason why he's slow rolling getting back, you know, into playing on the floor again. Because he has been more – I think he's missed more games than played. And, you know, of course, the Philly fan base is frustrated because he played for Team USA in the summer, right? And, you know, sacrificed essentially the Philadelphia Sixers season for that. And I think that a lot of the fans are pissed off about that, honestly. So,
that's what I mean by he's a problem, right?
Yeah.
He does things like this, you know, kind of earlier to our Shaq, Jimmy Butler. He's a little bit of a malcontent.
Yeah, okay. He is. He wasn't always like that.
Is he an MVP talent? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
When he's on, absolutely. Probably one of the top two best players in the league when he's on.
Yes.
But, dude, like, how often have we seen that?
We haven't. We've only seen it for one season, honestly. That's pretty much it.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. So at some point, you know, if you're a metrics guy, you're like, oh, well, that's the exception. Everything else is the rule. You know? And I'm like, why would I do that? So if I'm the Sixers, you know, I'm really analyzing, do I want to trade Embiid or George or both? You know? Yeah. And part of the reason I say that is because, you know, when we curtail into the West –
Yep.
I think there's a couple of other teams for different reasons that need to start making up their mind as to what direction they want to go.
And you think the Sixers are one of those?
I think the Sixers are in that position because they've got two players that I don't think are enough to take them to the next level.
Yeah, they need
not because of talent, because of injury, because of attitude, because of history with the organization. I think that Embiid is
they have to press the reset button and we'll correct. See, man.
And Paul George is just caught in the mix, right? He's just old. He gets hurt, not his fault, but he's just in the mix, right?
What didn't help his cause, both of those causes, is that those guys missed the beginning of the season for quite some time, and Tyrese Maxey was all by himself, right? Him and Jared McCain and Kelly Oubre were essentially, you know, lifting this team. And then Yabusele is another one. Gershon Yabusele has now emerged as this player who actually started out with the Boston Celtics, and now he's been playing well for these guys in the absence of Joel Embiid for the most part. So, yeah, I mean, they are definitely in need of a trade, and I think that's a good team that you're targeting that could be making a trade because their season is just spiraling big time, man.
Correct, and I don't know if I hold hope for it getting better down the road.
Not anytime soon.
No, and what's the GM there? You know, who was the GM for Houston, right? What's his name? Mahoney, Maloney, something like that.
Yeah, I forget his name. Yeah.
I can't remember. I think he's let go at the end of the season.
Really? Well, maybe because of the way he constructed this team.
Well, I don't know if it's his fault, but it's the same. Eddie, we're seeing the same formula, right? The Nets try to do this. It didn't work. The Rockets try to do this. It didn't work. Now the Sixers are trying to do this. It's not working. Like, you got to build from the draft, and then you got to add players into the mix. It's very few teams that you can just build by picking up pieces.
Yeah, but free agents. You can't build a team with free agents.
Sixers are unique is that they have McCain. And McCain, maybe I'm giving him too much credit right now.
But he hasn't played in a while, by the way. No, he hasn't played in a while.
But you have Maxey, who's a building
really good player.
Yeah, and you don't want to drag him down with these two guys that aren't going to be there.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is that those guys with contracts, they're hard to move, especially Embiid. But, you know, he's a difference maker when he's engaged. And I think he's, like I said, he just needs a change of scenery, because I think he's worn out his welcome in Philly. And Paul George, I think he's just a victim of circumstance, unfortunately. Correct. He just, you know, it just it wasn't a good fit. And that's why I think they're trying to maybe entice Jimmy Butler to come back, man. But let's dovetail into the West, man.
Okay.
So I picked three teams in the West. Of course, the team, you know, our team, it's no secret, the Warriors have been struggling. They started out at 12-3, and right now they are 22-23 since. So that is 10-20, okay, over the last 30 games. That's pretty brutal, man. They are definitely in the market to make a trade. And the two names that keep popping up, we've already talked about them, are Jimmy Butler and Nikola Vucevic, right? But it sounds like, you know, the Warriors are pretty, pretty serious about trying to land a Jimmy Butler. And I don't like it, bro. I don't like – not that I don't like Jimmy Butler. I just have concerns about team chemistry when you have two junkyard dogs in Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green. Right. Correct. They're both very used to enforcing other team players, other teammates to follow suit. And I don't think one or the other is going to do well in taking any instruction or how to do things, any discipline from the other. Right. And Jimmy Butler, you know, you would think would be, okay, I'm coming to this championship team, swallow my pride a little bit, you know, but he is who he is, man, right? He is who he is. And that's my concern. And, of course,
Want Butler anywhere near the Warriors.
I don't either, but it's pretty hot, man. They're talking a lot about it, and I'm thinking
they said the Warriors are willing to trade a protected first-round pick to sweeten up the offer. I heard a rumor where I'm trying to remember now. I can't remember. There was some – where Jimmy Butler ends up with the Warriors. Wiggins goes to is it Bruce Brown that played for
– Bruce Brown. Yeah, he's a Toronto Raptor.
Yeah, so Wiggins would go to Toronto.
Yep.
Bruce Brown would go to Miami.
Miami.
And we would get Jimmy – or the Warriors would get Jimmy Butler.
Oh, man. That's
a rumor that I heard, right? And so I don't – I you know, Vucevic is an interesting – how would I put this? He's an interesting situation because the Warriors, how would I put this? The Warriors, I think that if they can get into the playoffs, they have enough to try to maybe create some damage there.
Yeah.
But getting to the playoffs is like...
It's the challenge.
Is a challenge.
That is the challenge. I mean, they're 22
and I think Vucevic could potentially... But then again, I look at the Dennis Schroeder pick and I was like, I was excited about that, the pickup. And now I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work, man.
He's had an adjustment period to kind of work in this offense that he's always been a pick and roll player.
Correct.
Steve Kerr hardly runs pick and rolls. It's a motion offense, read and react, right? And this is a whole new ball game from Schroeder. Now, I think, you know, the last two games, Schroeder has had decent games. So let's see if he can continue that, because I always thought Schroeder was a matchup nightmare, man, because he's so freaking fast. And and he showed a little bit of that, at least against the Jazz, you know, last night. You know, we'll see tonight how, you know, because they're playing the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight, and hopefully it's not another 30-point blowout that, you know, the Warriors have been seeing when anytime they play like one of the top four teams in the East or West, they seem to get blown out. But, you know, and the thing is that, you know, Curry's been resting, Draymond Green's been out. And the thing is that there's a whole new youth movement. And I think that a lot of people are coming down on Kerr. It's like, man, you've had these players. You should have given these guys a shot from a long time ago. Moses Moody has been on your team for quite some time. You should have let this guy play a long time ago. Guy Santos, who's been on your team for, you know, a few years too, he hasn't seen, you know, the light of day sometimes, you know, and he's now emerging. I think now, you know, Kerr is maybe figured out that some of these guys actually – can, you know, when they're given their time, they can actually shine.
Here's the irony of what I've noticed, Eddie.
Yeah.
Those guys play better when Curry's off the
court. Curry's not on the floor.
He's not playing.
Yeah, it's because the offense is centered around Curry getting as much shots as correct. As many shots as possible.
Correct.
But the defenses know that Curry is really our only real offensive threat outside of Wiggins, because Wiggins has become more of an offensive threat this year. And you had pointed out a few podcasts ago is that the Warriors are totally wasting a great year from Andrew Wiggins, because he's very close to that 2022 Wiggins. I mean, he's way more assertive offensively. His defense has been outstanding, right? When he first came to the Warriors, he wasn't that defensive player. The Warriors made him into that defensive beast,
yeah.
And he is a defensive beast. And the thing is, if I were to compare Wiggins and Butler, they're very similar, okay? They are very similar. The only thing is, I think that Wiggins kind of tends to kind of disappear sometimes, whereas correct. Butler, he doesn't disappear. He's very assertive, right? But as far as their skill level, it's very similar.
You could put Wiggins, if you could put Butler's mindset into Wiggins,
correct? Then you're like, whoa, that's what we need, right?
Look out! I agree with you. And also, part of my concern here with the Warriors making any trade is, if they get Vucevic, right? I think that's definitely he'd be a starter, right? But but like when you have Draymond on the court, you take out an offense, right? Like he's not an offensive player. If you have TJD on the court, he's not an offensive player, right? And so all of a sudden, when you have the starting five, like all you are left with is like Wiggins, Curry, and Kuminga, right? And Kuminga's not a great outside shooter. Wiggins can be streaky, so they just focus on Steph and then let the rest happen. I'm going to say something that's a little sacrilege, but I think that if the Warriors can't get a trade in their favor, they should really look at trading Draymond.
Trading Draymond?
Draymond Green, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of talk about that too on the radios today as well. He's a specific fit for a specific team. A team that's already has like really good shooters that might need more facilitator, at the point forward type of position, and there are teams out there that can definitely, I think utilize a Draymond Green. It's just he has this persona that he has definitely painted for himself over the past few years. He's definitely gotten better, man. I mean, he seems to have learned a lot from that Jordan Poole experience, right? I think he's definitely been more introspective. He's definitely a little bit more, I would say just a little bit more, I don't know what's the word I'm looking for. Not that he's guard. He's just a little bit more determined to be a better player, although his emotions get the best of himself sometimes, but he still is, he still gets technical fouls. He just doesn't.
No, but so it's interesting. It's interesting you bring that up, Eddie, because, when Jordan Poole came down and played against the Warriors,
Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
Jordan Poole made a comment like, I got love for some of those guys over there. Right. And clearly everyone, when they heard some, they know who he doesn't have love for, And Draymond Green, I think it was via Twitter, responded, hey, I'm sorry. I should have been better and I'm sorry. Okay, great. But here's Draymond in a nutshell. The next day or the next 2 days, he gets on his podcast and he's with Baron Davis and they're on the podcast and they're talking about this. And Draymond Green is like, dude, I'm sorry, but like, can you get over it?
Exactly. He was with Baron Davis. Yeah, I remember. I saw it.
Exactly. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, Draymond. Like, it's like, so now I look at the other part of it, and like, it's all a show. Like, you're just doing what you think people want to hear. I don't think you're genuinely sorry.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. You're right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, so I look at that, and I'm going, I don't know if he's better. But that all aside, Draymond, his availability and his age, we can't afford to not have him play better offense for the Warriors. Now, it's just we don't have that much, leeway. Before you had Clay. You had Durant, you had Steph, you had Iguodala, who wasn't a great offense, but you had people that could score and Draymond could just focus on defense. Didn't have to worry about scoring. Now you look around and like, who the hell they got? They got nobody.
Yeah.
Like, we can't afford to give up Draymond's spot for someone who doesn't play offense. At all.
Yeah. I hear you, man. But I do not like this trade. It sounds like they're very serious about it. And I think
it's a mistake. It's a mistake.
I agree. And the thing is, what's interesting is because not just recently, Steph Curry was pretty much saying, hey, man, don't let's not mortgage the future, man, just to try and, you know, get a short-term gain, right? You know, because, you know, I think he realizes that the team needs more than just Jimmy Butler to get to where they want to go, right? So the thing is that, you know, Curry only has one more year on his contract, right? And, you know.
Oh, no, Curry's got, he re-signed. He's got three more.
Okay, he's got three more. Okay, thanks for telling me that. Yeah, I just, I didn't even, you're getting a notification.
I'll tell you this, though. If this trade is done, it smells, I'm telling you, it smells like Joe Lacob pushed this.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I don't think Kerr wants it. I don't think Dunleavy wants it. I don't think Lacob wants to win now.
Yeah, and it very well could be that Lacob's like, you know what? I'm tired of listening to you guys. I'm making the freaking move
we're
here.
Getting Butler. You know, we're getting Butler. Because that dude is, I mean, I love the fact that he's like that. You know, like, we got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, but, dude.
It's enough. So
what are you going to do? You're going to bring him in and you're going to sign him to what? A 2 or 3 year extension?
Yeah. They're going to have to get rid of Wiggins to make that work, man. And Wiggins has been on and off, right? Mostly off because of his personal issues. But man, if we get what we got in 2022 and what we're getting from him this year, along with some other player, man, we're going to be dangerous again, man. A young athletic player. And I think Kuminga was starting to show that he was potentially that guy. And then he got hurt at the worst time, man. And he's out.
But that's the other thing too, right? So Curry's due to make $60 million next year.
Yep.
Butler, if we get him, is $50-something million.
53 million. Okay. Yeah, 53.
Okay. Yep. That's already, if I recall correctly, I believe the first apron is like $130 million. You know that if we get Butler, you know what that means. We're not signing Kuminga.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we're
part
just,
of the trade, not, man.
We're not signing Kuminga. And to
you
me,
might be part of the trade. We know Pat Riley don't play, man. Pat Riley's probably just saying, you want Butler? We get Kuminga.
Yeah, but if I'm looking at Kuminga and Butler, dude, give me Kuminga. I mean, I haven't been Kuminga's biggest fan, but if you're telling me pick between those two guys, give me Kuminga any day.
Yeah. No, I hear you,
Kuminga's,
man.
Kuminga's, what, 22 years old?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I don't think he is. I think, he might be 21. 21 or 22.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely early 20s.
Yeah.
Like, this is a no-brainer, bro. Do not get Butler if we're going to lose Kuminga. I'm willing to lose Kuminga, but it ain't for Butler.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, dude, we got to get moving, man, because we're almost there. We got to still do our one-on-one thing, man. So let's go to the Spurs. The Spurs are the next team I thought would be a good fit. And what's interesting is De'Aaron Fox recently just, you know, there's some trade rumors surrounding De'Aaron Fox and the Kings. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, you and I were talking about before the podcast is that De'Aaron Fox is, I don't want to trade. But I think it's because, you know, the Sacramento Kings weren't getting the assurance that they wanted from Fox that he would re-sign with them. And that's probably why they started saying, hey, we're going to go ahead and make Fox available. We're hearing offers for him right now, right? Which is interesting. And it's interesting because it's been reported that De'Aaron Fox is one of his preferred destinations is the San Antonio Spurs, right? The San Antonio Spurs are 12th in the division right now. They've gone 3-7 over the last 10. They're 20-23, 12th in the division. They need to make a move because they have this transcendent player in Victor Wembanyama, and they are way ahead of the curve right now, man. Nobody saw these guys being this good at this time. I mean, they're not like great right now, but they're on the right trajectory, right? So they, you know, the front office knows that they have to do something to get this guy some players, right? And they tried with, you know, they brought in freaking Harrison Barnes and Chris Paul, great veterans to kind of help, right? But they're not going to bring them over the top. They need to make another move, right? So, you know, I think, man, De'Aaron Fox would be a great fit for that team.
Oh, I agree. Oh, my sure. Question is, I'm looking at the Spurs roster, and I'm going, who the hell would the Kings want other than Victor Wembanyama, which they're never going to get, you know?
So, well, they might want Harrison Barnes back. I don't know.
Oh, come on, dude.
I'm just kidding, man.
Let me ask you this, Eddie. Would you give up Stephon Castle for De'Aaron Fox?
But the contract doesn't work. Man.
No, I understand, but I'm sure we can figure it out. So, would you give up Stephon Castle?
No, because he's definitely going to be – I think Stephon Castle is in the mold of a Kawhi Leonard, man. I think he's just going to be a smaller version of Kawhi Leonard. And by the way, Stephon Castle is also in the dunk contest, by the way.
Yeah.
He's going to be going against your Matas Bucelis of Chicago Bulls, as well as others. But I wouldn't – to answer your question, I wouldn't. There's not many people on the Spurs other than picks, because you know they do have a lot of draft picks, and maybe that's how they make it work and bring in another team to kind of make the you know the financials work between you know De'Aaron Fox's contract, which is $34.8 million. So they have to find a way to kind of match that $34.8 million either through their own roster or somebody else's roster. Chris Paul
would be part of that.
Chris Paul, yeah, and I don't think he's that much. I think he's like 30-ish million, I think, per year. I think from what I remember. Yeah. But you know, so De'Aaron Fox is a player that I thought would be, you know, I thought he was already going to be a pick, but a good fit for these guys. But then another guy that I thought would be a good fit for him is Zach LaVine. I mean, this team needs offense. They have an already great defensive player and defensive scheme because of Greg Popovich's system. They need offense, man, and I think Zach LaVine would be another good fit. Now, that's $43 million that they have to figure out how to match. They're going to have to bring other players to make this all work, but they owe it to themselves because they have a transcendent player in Victor Wembanyama to do whatever they need to, whatever possible to start making this team better, because I think that their opportunity right now is to get into play-in and showcase him a little bit, right, and then show what he can do and then bring other free agents, because a lot of people want to play with this guy, man, because he's like that good, right? So
do you think Zach LaVine would frustrate Pop? Do you think Zach LaVine is a player that Pop would have patience for?
I think so. I mean, as long as he plays defense, I mean, that guy is not – he seems like a pretty level-headed guy, man. He's not one of these problem childs. He just – you know, I think he's just very focused on the offensive end and not necessarily on the defensive end. And in order for you to play in Popovich's system, you have to play defense. And I think, you know, defense can be taught to a point. It's all effort, right? Defense is mostly effort more than anything, right? And you have to put the effort into it. And he has the athleticism to be good. I mean, Andrew Wiggins is the poster child for that, as well as Kevin Durant. Both those guys are very athletic. They were both very offensive-minded players. But when they came to the Warriors, they became more defensive-minded.
Correct.
And so the Warriors can turn players around to be, you know, defensive-minded players, and the Spurs can do the same thing. So I think he would be a good fit for the Spurs. So before we go on to the next team, any thoughts on the Spurs before we move on?
No, I think that's
we're good. All right, man. So the last team that I thought would be a good fit to talk about, that I think is screams making a trade. And what's interesting is that all the other teams that I've brought out in the East, those three teams in the East and these other two teams in the West, they've all been struggling recently, right? They've all been struggling in the last 10 games. They're all below 500. This is the only team that I'm bringing up that does not fit that mold. This team is 8-2 in their last 10. And the whole reason why I'm bringing this team up is because once they get into the playoffs, their bench is going to be exposed, man. And that is the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets right now are the fourth seed. They're 28-17. They've gone 8-2. If you look at, in my opinion, the reason why this team is there is because Jokic is playing out of his freaking mind, dude. Yeah, Jokic is going to be the MVP again, man. Yep. And he's unbelievable how good that guy's been playing. The thing is that they have such a shallow bench that they have to depend on this guy to be this good every freaking night, man. And that's asking a lot for him, you know. And Jamal Murray has been in and out of the lineup. You have Aaron Gordon who's been in and out of the lineup. I mean, those are blessings in disguise because it gives some of these bench players some time to gel with some of these teams. Like, you know, Julian Strother has definitely become a better player because of the absences of these guys. But these guys are screaming to make a deal to get a better bench player or two to have them go on a deeper run in the playoffs. So that's the reason why I selected these guys. And in my opinion, like I said, the guys that I'm bringing up, the same guys, Zach LaVine, Brandon Ingram, all right? Those two guys are guys that are offensive-minded that I think would just elevate the, you know, potential bench. You know, I think, you know, I think either one of those guys would probably come off the bench. I don't think they have the egos to say, I can't do that, you know. But but in order for that to work, they have to trade somebody like a Michael Porter, who's $35.8 million contract. Then you have Aaron Gordon, who's at $34.5, because Brandon Ingram's about $36 million. And I already mentioned Zach LaVine's at $43 million. They would have to bring, you know, other assets to make the thing work, you know, because at least the Zach LaVine, the, you know, Bulls would have to bring other assets. Denver would have to bring other assets to make the contract work for Zach LaVine if they were to make that work. Brandon Ingram is pretty even, so they could probably make that work. But that's who I thought would be a good choice for
the Denver. What do you think of this name? What do you think about Jordan Clarkson?
Jordan Clarkson would be a really good fit for him. You know, these for sure. I think he's a good pick. I think he's a good pick. He's offensive minded. You know, another guy, but he's probably too expensive for him, is Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole would be a good fit for these
guys. Yes. But Jordan Clarkson historically has come off the bench. I don't think he's as expensive as some of the other players. He's definitely not as expensive as Zach.
He's not.
But he's not. And Clarkson's still in Utah, right? As far as I can remember, he's still there.
Yeah, he's still in Utah.
Yeah, and Utah's having an offseason. I mean, I could see them doing something there. You know, if they want to get Aaron Gordon out there or Porter, something like that.
Yep.
I could see someone like Jordan Clarkson being a nice fit.
We shall see, man. I mean, these are the teams. I think these guys are all screaming to make a deal. I'd be very surprised if the teams that I mentioned are not in the sweepstakes of getting any of these players that are kind of, you know, the Jimmy Butlers, the Zach Levines. You know, these are the names, Nikola Vucevic. Those are the big names that are in free agency or in the trade, not free agency, but in the trade swirl right now, the trade rumors. So I wouldn't be surprised if these six teams make a move, because they need to make a move in order to get to where they want to go. At least, you know, in going up the standings, and in the Nuggets case, to be, you know, a championship caliber team again. So, but anyway, bro, we covered this in an hour, man. Holy crap. And we haven't even got to the part that is, you know, I think that is the funnest part of this podcast, at least for the next few weeks, is the quest to determine the best one-on-one player of all time, as well as the best divisional player of all time. Now, you know, for this week, we are going to go ahead and focus on the Central Division of the Eastern Conference. So that is the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Indiana Pacers, the Detroit Pistons, and the Chicago Bulls. Now, I think we're going to have pretty short lists here for all these teams. So let's just go ahead and see if we can get through this within the next 15 to 20 minutes, right? Let's try, right? So, okay.
I'm going to tell you something right now, Eddie. I'm going to say something right now.
Yes.
This Central Division?
Yes.
I didn't think it when we started this. They got a squad, bro.
Yeah, I agree. It depends on who we finalize. Uh-huh. Yeah, it depends. Yeah, I agree.
So let's see if we got the same names. But if
let's
we got
go, man, let's names, go. All right, bro, but you know my squad. Style. I'm gonna go ahead and reveal some of the players that this franchise have had and some of the nominees. Right. So let's start off. Who do you have for the Cleveland Cavaliers?
All right, for me, everyone knows you got LeBron James, the Cavalier, right? LeBron. Yep. I included in that mix, even though he was there shorter, but he made his name for himself. I had Kyrie Irving in there as well, obviously. So have him. And then two players that made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, were good players for the organization. If you're an old head like me, you'll remember them. That's Mark Price and Brad Doherty, right?
Yes, so those are two players
from the past. No Craig Elo here. I didn't put him in here or anybody else, but I did put those two guys, you know. Mark Price was always a poor man's John Stockton, you know, kind of deal. You know, and Brad Doherty he had a real calm demeanor about him, but he was a good player. He was a solid player out of North Carolina. You know, so those are my four. You have anyone that I didn't?
So, I'm going to go through these, all right? So, you know who's a part of this franchise? A lot of people don't remember him as being part of this franchise, but he was drafted by this franchise. But he's a Detroit Piston bad boy. It's Bill Laimbeer. Bill Laimbeer was actually drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? Okay. Another guy who actually got drafted but was dealt to Chicago is Charles Oakley, okay? But he was more of a Chicago Bull than New York Knicks than, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers. But I just wanted to point out, you know, who was part of this franchise. You already mentioned Mark Price. You already mentioned Brad Doherty. Kevin Johnson, remember that of Cal? Yep. He's another one that got drafted by the Cleveland.
But I remember him as a son, but yes.
Yes. And then Jamal Crawford is another one, but he got dealt to Chicago, right? So, and then, you know, another player that was drafted, but LeBron didn't want him on the team, was Andrew Wiggins. He got dealt to Minnesota, correct. Right? Andrew Wiggins was going to be a Cleveland Cavalier. And the last guy that I have on the list is Evan Mobley. He's very young in his career, but I think he's one of these guys that's going to be mentioned as one of the all-time greats of this franchise. If he stays with the franchise for a long period of time, and his trajectory of how he's playing continues as well. But the one guy we all have to choose, LeBron James, dude, right? LeBron James is the guy.
LeBron James.
All right, cool. Yeah. We agree. All right, Milwaukee Bucks.
I'll let you go through your list.
All right, so we have the guy that got drafted out of them in 1969 was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, all right? So he's definitely a Milwaukee Buck, although he's probably made more of his name as a Los Angeles Laker, and he's already been picked, you know, in the Pacific Division last week, so we can't pick him. I'm just saying that he's a guy that should be nominated for this franchise, although we can't pick him. Alex English came out in the second round. He's another guy, Hall of Fame player. Marcus Johnson is another player. He's a third pick. Sidney Moncrief from the Milwaukee Bucks, right? He's another guy. Interesting enough, Andrew Bogut also, the first overall pick for the Milwaukee Bucks. Starberry was drafted but was dealt to Minnesota, right? And then Dirk Nowitzki was drafted by these guys but then got dealt to the Dallas Mavericks. But the one guy you have to pick, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
So I have two. I have two guys that I want to add to your list.
All right.
That weren't drafted, but I thought were at least for me in consideration. One was Ray Allen.
Yep.
Right. Ray Allen spent the bulk of his career. The other one was Jrue Holiday. Right. Drew.
Yeah, that's true. Jrue Holiday. That's right.
Drew. So those two guys. But yes, I'm with you. I picked Giannis as well. I don't see how you could pick anybody else. I also did have Oscar Robertson in there. Obviously, we picked him as a.
We already picked him as a king. As a king.
But he spent some of his career with the Bucks as well. So we got LeBron and
Giannis. LeBron and Giannis. Easy, right? Yeah, already those two, that's a problem. That's a problem. All right.
That is a problem.
So, all right, Indiana. All right, you go, man.
All right, so Indiana, some player. And again, you can talk about the players that got drafted and never really played if you have any. But I'm going to go through. I'm going to leave my pick for last. Jermaine O'Neal, drafted right out of high school, you know, was part of that Malice in the Palace, good player. The other one I had here was Paul George, obviously spent the bulk of his career with the Indiana Pacers, played, you know, most of his youth and most of his good years with Paul George. We have a player with the Warriors named Quentin Post, and his idol, one of his idols growing up was a Pacer, which is Rick Smith. Right? Yep. Yes, from the Amsterdam region, right? Yep. And then I also threw in there Jalen Rose, right? So Jalen Rose was another player that I threw in there, that he spent a lot of time. And then obviously the Pacer is Reggie Miller, right? Yep. So Reggie Miller was the way that I'm leaning, but I'll let you go and see if you had anybody that wasn't on the list.
All right, so
you can let me know who you picked.
I picked Danny Granger as a guy who's been an all-time Indiana Pacer. I had Antonio Davis and Dale Davis. They were picked in back-to-back years. They were always known as the Davis brothers, but they weren't brothers. They just had the same
brothers, last name.
And Antonio Davis is actually from Oakland, so he's out from out here in Northern California. And then I think you mentioned Paul George. I think that was the first guy, one of the first guys. So another guy that was picked by these guys but got dealt to the San Antonio Spurs, Kawhi Leonard, right? Leonard was the guy. And I forgot who they dealt him for, like a guard, and I forgot who it was. But anyway, I forgot from the Pacers. They dealt a guard. The Spurs dealt a guard back to the Pacers for Kawhi Leonard. And then the other guys that I picked is Ron Artest, Meta World Peace.
Oh, Ron Artest. Yes. Good call.
Meta World Peace. And then another guy, dude, Wayman Tisdale. Remember this guy?
Yes.
1985. Dude, that guy became like a jazz musician, man. He's like an accomplished jazz musician, right?
He lost an arm, right? If I remember right, I think he lost an arm.
I don't remember, man, but maybe.
I may be off here, so anybody out there, remind me if I'm right or wrong, but yes. Wayman he's a very accomplished musician.
Yeah, exactly. And then the last guy that I have is, he's current, you know, I always have to bring it to the current, Miles Turner. I think he's going to be considered a pretty good Pacer when his career is over. He's going to be considered. But the one that we all settle on is Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller is the guy. So right now for the Cleveland Cavaliers, we have LeBron James. For the Milwaukee Bucks, we have Giannis Antetokounmpo. For the Indiana Pacers, we have Reggie Miller. Those three, woohoo! This is a problem,
that's
man.
Hot, bro.
This team is hot, man.
We're not even into the mix yet.
Oh, dude, we're not even. So now we're going to the Detroit Pistons, man, all right? So go for it, man. This is kind of – I have a long list. So I'm just going to go through them quickly. But so I have Hall of Famer Dave Bing out of 1966. Yes. Bob Lanier, 1970 Hall of Famer. Joe Dumars, the current head of basketball operations for the NBA.
Yes.
He's also – he was the 18th pick in the 1985 draft. John Sally, Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman was a second-round pick, man.
Yep.
He was drafted the same year as John Sally, right? Grant Hill. He was third overall pick, Hall of Famer, 1994. Dude, Darko Milicic, man. The only reason why I'm bringing up Darko, bro, is because they could have drafted Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, or Carmelo Anthony instead. All right? He's always going to be the blacklist for the Detroit Pistons as far as the worst pick, one of the worst picks. Andre Drummond, ninth pick. Chris Middleton, Little people forget that he actually got drafted by the Detroit Pistons in the 39th. He was the 39th pick in the second round. All right. And then bring it to the current, Cade Cunningham. But the guy that I picked.
Three. I have three that you didn't mention.
Okay. I'll tell you the guy that I picked, Isaiah Thomas.
Yes. I picked Thomas as well. But three players that I think are worth mentioning. Did you mention Chauncey Billups?
I did not.
Ben Wallace.
I did not.
And Richard Hamilton. Three players that won championships with the Pistons, right? They're champions. So
good call, man. Good call. But we settled on Isaiah Thomas
as well. Yeah, but Isaiah Thomas. So now we got LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Reggie Miller, and Isaiah Thomas. Dude, we can't possibly get a better player to add to this.
My God, are you kidding me? And the last team in this division are the Chicago Bulls, man. Oh. All right, so. Go ahead and start with your list, bro.
All right, let's see. I got everyone's favorite Robin, the best Robin of all time, Scottie Pippen.
For sure.
Right? Scottie Pippen. I got those early years, Horace Grant, right? Yep. You can also bring up Dennis Rodman. We just mentioned him as a Piston. You could also mention him as a Bull. You know, he had equal. Derrick Rose, right? I believe youngest MVP in the history of the NBA, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
Was a dynamic player until he got hurt. Then we got Big Fro, Artis Gilmore, for those that remember. Artis Gilmore, big man, Big Fro.
Artis Gilmore, dude. Yeah.
Artis Gilmore, right? And
the
then
the other guy that I've seen do the sky hook like Kareem. He's the only other guy I've seen that did it pretty good.
I remember he got those chops, bro. Remember he had those freaking sideburn chops.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he did.
He was
Hall of Famer too, man.
And then we got a graduate from the University of San Francisco, Bill Cartwright. I put him in there as
Bill Cartwright.
Bill Cartwright.
I like that, man.
Yes. And then some little guy that no one's ever heard of, the name of Michael Jordan.
Dude. And it should only be a list of one, dude, right?
It is a list of one.
It is a list of one. But we've got to bring up some of these other guys. But what's interesting about Michael Jordan, bro, he was picked third overall in that draft.
Correct.
He was picked. Do you remember who he was picked behind?
Akeem Olajuwon.
Akeem was number one pick.
I could still defend that pick. I'm not saying you would, but it's defend. And then the other guy was Sam Bowie, right?
Correct. Yes. Good. Yes. Man, you got it. All right. So we both picked Michael Jordan, but some of the honorable mentions, Maurice Lucas, Reggie Theus of 1978. Reggie Theus. LaMarcus Aldridge.
LaMarcus Aldridge, yeah.
Yeah, but
he, but he was drafted. Traded. Did he play much with the Bulls?
No, he didn't. He got drafted, but they traded him to the Blazers.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to bring him up that he could have been a Chicago Bull. Yeah. And then Jimmy Butler, his name is sprinkled all over this podcast, bro.
He
was the 30th pick in the 2011 draft. That's a damn good 30th pick, man.
Out of Marquette.
And then Bobby Portis is another guy who's still playing in the NBA. He started his career with the Chicago Bulls. But we both went ahead and settled on Michael Jordan. And, dude, you're right. Giannis, Michael, LeBron. I mean, those three are arguably probably in the top 10 of all time. Giannis will definitely be there, for sure, considered. Then you got Reggie Miller, probably considered one of the best shooters of all time. Isaiah Thomas, considered one of the best point guards of all time. This team's going to be tough.
Dude, the only thing that could derail this team is that Jordan and Isaiah Thomas hate each other. So maybe while they're in the corner fighting, the other team might have a shot, bro.
Yeah, right. All right.
This team is insane, bro.
Dude, okay. So we got to pick the best one-on-one player among this group. Okay. All right. Isaiah Thomas, because of his size, sheer size, he's out, man. That's my call. He's shifty, and he can shoot. But he has no chance to stop them.
No, I agree. We got Isaiah Thomas drops. Yeah.
Okay, Reggie Miller. I think he's gone too, man.
Yeah, not good enough of the defensive player. Definitely a shooter. He's an interesting finisher, but that's not his strong suit. So I would agree. We have to drop Reggie Miller from
all right. So this is where the interesting part comes.
All right, here we go.
Last three, bro. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So let me ask you something. Do you think Giannis versus LeBron? Who do you think would win that one on one?
All right, let me think on this.
That's a tough one, right?
LeBron.
LeBron versus Giannis. I mean,
I think LeBron wins for two reasons. One, he's not a great outside shooter, but he's a better outside shooter than Giannis.
For sure.
Yes. And two, he's stronger than Giannis.
They're both so, strong, though, bro.
They are both strong, but again, if we're talking prime players, yes. I think LeBron is stronger between the two. So I would give the edge to LeBron. But Giannis is long as hell. He could get around. He could Euro step. Like, this is – I'm not saying this lightly. I think it's LeBron, but I could be convinced differently.
Dude, I can tell you that Giannis, his endurance is very, very good. All right? He's very, very long. I mean, he's going to create problems whoever he goes up against because he's so agile, so strong, and he's so long, dude. Right? And it's going to be hard to get by this guy, man, honestly. And if you pull up for a shot, he
can block it.
He's disciplined enough to kind of stay down when he needs to. And he's long enough to not necessarily have to jump to block your shot.
Correct.
All right? So I think he has more of a shot at stopping LeBron than LeBron has a shot at stopping Giannis. Now, Giannis is somewhat a one-dimensional somewhat player to go against LeBron because he's going to have to, you know, kind of beat him in the open court. And LeBron, I think prime LeBron was a better defender than kind of the older LeBron now. Older LeBron's a better offensive player than he was, you know, maybe in his youth. But all-around player, he was a better all-around player in his youth. I just think, in my opinion, Giannis is I think, especially if it's losers outs, right? Yep. Losers outs changes everything, man. This would go down to the wire, man. I agree with you.
This one
would go down to the wire. And I think, you know, I think only the only reason why I would pick LeBron, and you made it the point already, is because he can shoot better than Giannis. And Giannis, he's going to have to be able to drive all the time. And LeBron is strong enough to contain him at sometimes. But, you know.
Sometimes. The key is sometimes. Not every time.
Sometimes. I'd give the edge to LeBron slightly, but it would be so freaking close. All right. So now it comes down to LeBron versus Michael Jordan. This is the debate that a lot of the young bucks, the new generation, say that LeBron's the greatest of all time. Right. You and I have seen both play. Yep. We've already stated who we thought was a better player between these two in past podcasts. Based on their sheer determination, based on what they do on both sides of the ball, we know Michael Jordan is considered an all-time great on both sides of the ball, right? Correct. Not even close for LeBron James on the defensive side. No, from the offensive side, LeBron can. He can hang. He can hang with Michael Jordan on the offensive side. But Michael Jordan's shifty. I mean, he can shoot on all different levels, right? He may not necessarily be considered like a great three-point shooter. He can do it, but he's not considered a great three-point shooter. But he's very shifty. He's very, very quick. And he can contain LeBron, man. This would be a great one-on-one.
This would be a one-on-one for all the ages.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think Jordan would beat him, but LeBron is bigger and stronger than him, and that's what's the neutralizing factor. But Jordan, I think, would be able to pick his pocket way more than LeBron would. That's what I think.
So there's three reasons I give the edge to Jordan. One, Jordan didn't shoot much of a three-pointer, but he's a better shooter than LeBron. LeBron's better than Giannis, and Jordan's better than LeBron. That's number one.
Yep.
Number two, Jordan is a better defender than LeBron. Jordan is an all-world defender. Okay. Yes. And then third, which I normally don't, this is too much of a non-measurable, it's non-tangible, but there's no way in hell Jordan would allow himself to lose. There's just no way in hell. And I see LeBron as the guy that will dish to his teammate, or this isn't worth it, or so when you get into the grind and they're both tired, dude, Jordan is like not going to lose. He's just not. Now, that doesn't mean that attitude would get him to beat just anyone. But in this case, I think his mental toughness is far superior to LeBron's.
Yeah, and I agree. And it would be any of these. Giannis versus Michael, Giannis versus LeBron, LeBron versus Michael. All three of these on a one-on-one would be freaking incredible, right?
Well, here's something that's interesting, Eddie, because it's all about matchups. Sure. I think Giannis has a better chance of beating Jordan than LeBron does.
Only because LeBron's strong.
Correct.
Right? Yeah, but the thing is that Giannis would get his pocket picked every
time. No, he would. He would, absolutely. But I think he's got a better shot.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Because that's the only reason is because Jordan, he'll pick his pocket because, you know, Giannis dribbles kind of high. Whereas LeBron knows how to, he's more of a point guard. He's had to play point guard in his time.
Yeah.
And I think he knows how to get around, you know, somebody who's a very good defender like a Michael Jordan. So that's why I would pick, you know, LeBron over Giannis. So, all right. So are we settled on Michael as the best 1-on-1?
Yeah, Mike. Yeah, it's got to be.
All right, man. All right, man. So that's it for this segment. It was a good segment, man. We had to do it quick, but we did it in 20 minutes. Now, you know, I'll say that let's go ahead and go just only because we put the time into it. Let's just go over the conference. Go ahead and put that slide up. This is our last segment. We're going to go ahead and just kind of show what we've been doing on our rookie fantasy league. So this is what we're doing on the conference standings right now. Let me go ahead and hide this. But you can see this week, you know, there's been some shifting in the standings. So you
kicking
can see
my butt. You're kicking my butt
in the East. The East is where I made a big jump, right? Because you know, last week last week was 722 points. The last week you had 56 points, and then I had 58 points. Where I made up a lot of the ground is because a lot of these shifts that have happened gave me 5 points. You know, the Hawks, right? That's one that gave you five points too. You know, the Bulls gave you 5 points too. The Bucks or the Pacers, that gave me 5 points, right? And that gave you 3 points. So I started kind of making some moves, some changes here. It started kind of like becoming, you know, a difference. But you can see right now I've accumulated 67 points. I mean, that's a big jump from last week.
That is a big jump. You know,
but look at the percent. I mean, right now we're tied in the West because look at all the zeros. On the West,
we're crappy in the West right now.
Dude, it's just because no one saw the emergence of freaking the Rockets being this good. No one saw the Grizzlies going all the way this high, man. You and I were not that high on the Lakers and Clippers. You know, being that high, I thought the Clippers were going to be better than they were than we were giving them credit.
Correct. You gave them more credit than I did, but
yeah, exactly. You had them in the 12th seed, and I had them in the 9th seed, right? So, but there's a lot of, I mean, there's so much, but the bottom teams, you know, we never saw the Pelicans getting there. We always thought they were going to be like a top 8 team easily, right?
Yeah, I mean, I had them at 7, you had them at 6.
Okay, so then let me ask you this, bro. Which teams do you see here? Okay, look at the Mavs. The Mavs have dropped all the way to 9. Look at the difference that Luka Doncic makes on that team, man.
Yep.
Right? That's a huge difference because you know they were always in the top four for top five actually for the most part for the season.
Speaking, did you see that mini Klay revival?
Yeah, I saw that.
Seven
game six Klay, man, came out of nowhere, man.
Yeah, that was good to see.
Yeah, so the Mavs I think will come back up. Do you think the Lakers and the Clippers will sustain this, or do you think this is a mirage?
All right, so I'm gonna go out. I think the Lakers. You know, and if we had a little more time, I think the Lakers are also a team in need of a trade. They need to pick up a piece because I think, Antonio Davis.
Anthony Davis
just got hurt, so he's out for a little bit. They're going to need somebody to help with that piece. But I think the Lakers are more realistic than the Clippers. And I know the Clippers are, you know, up there, but I still think the Clippers are going to drop because I think Kawhi is going to go in and out. Oh, look, you're...
Yeah, my cousin. So I got to give him props because he went ahead and posted, I agree with not adding Butler to the beloved Warriors as his first comment. We were talking about that. And the second one's great show today, Cisco Kids. Right on, Lewis. Thanks for the support. Appreciate it. Right on.
Yes.
But yeah, so go ahead. You were saying. Sorry.
So I'm thinking the Clippers will drop down. I think the Wolves are going to pass them. I think the Mavs will pass them. We'll see what happens with De'Aaron Fox. If De'Aaron Fox stays and he's happy, I think the Kings have a chance to pass them. So I think the Clippers will last. I think the Lakers are going to be in the mix here for a minute.
Okay. And do you think let me ask you this. Do you think do you think the Warriors will move up the ranks or do you think they're going to stay roughly where they're at?
Again, I'd like to have this conversation after the trade deadline, but if we presume where the Warriors are today, they'll get Kuminga back. They'll get Draymond back. I had them at 8. I think realistically they can get as high as 9, but not much higher.
Okay, I would agree with you. I think they'd probably get as high as 8. That's what I think that they could get there. And last year last year they had a similar start. Last year I think they had 19 wins up to the 43 game mark, And this year they are at 21, I think it was. So they won two more games. And then last year they turned it, the whole second half was like 27-12 or something like that. It was some crazy, like, you know, jump. And that's because a lot of the younger guys kept playing, right? So this is probably what's going to maybe jumpstart their second half of the season, is that, you know, they're going to get healthy. A lot of these guys that normally didn't get play or have gotten play, and this helps with team chemistry. This helps with team camaraderie. Everybody's contributing. You know, you know, it's just going to be interesting to see what happens. We may not
have to. I do think, though, it's going to be important for Kerr to make, as best he can, Steph just another guy on the court and not the guy.
Yeah.
Because when he makes him the guy, he's too small. The defense will concentrate on him. You know, if he was, you know, the whole thing, the great thing about being LeBron and being Giannis and being Jordan is that you're big enough to overpower some of these other, you know, defenses. And Curry's just not that guy. You know, they're going to double, triple team him. And if he has no, like, you got to run the, he's got to be a guy, I hate to say this, but he's almost got to be a guy that just stands in the corner and waits for the ball and then shoots it. You know, he's not a number one anymore. He's way better than that, but
yeah,
you kind of got to start heading in that direction. You know?
Yep. So, I mean, if he signed for the next 3 years, that's what they envision. And that tells me that they're going to be making moves here. Whether it be, you know, this draft or in the offseason.
The moves are going to be really interesting, because if they just unload a couple of players, they're telling you something. And if they pick up, you know, hopefully not Butler, but, you know, Vucevic, I'd be excited about. But, you know, if they pick up players to try to make it, then yes. But we're going to see.
We'll see. Yeah. So, well, hey, there you have it. We went ahead and covered, you know, the teams that we thought are going to be making some moves. We picked three teams in the East, and we picked three teams in the West. We also covered the quest for the best one-on-one player. We covered as well as the best divisional team, and we covered the Central Division of the Eastern Conference, where we selected for the Cleveland Cavaliers, we picked LeBron James. For the Milwaukee Bucks, we picked Giannis Antetokounmpo. We picked for the Indiana Pacers, Reggie Miller. For the Detroit Pistons, we picked Isaiah Thomas. And then for Chicago Bulls, we picked Michael Jordan. And if you look at this team and how it's assembled, man, there's no GMs that are going to can construct a better team than this, man.
Dude, this is a fantastic team, bro.
This is an incredible team. And then the best one-on-one player that we picked out of these five is Michael Jordan. And it'd be a close battle among either LeBron and Michael Jordan, or Giannis and Michael Jordan, or Giannis against LeBron. It was down to those three. But we made the argument that Michael Jordan is definitely the best one-on-one player amongst this group. And then we covered what we do every week, our rookie fantasy league and standings, conference standing seedings contest that we have between us. It's going to shift on a week-to-week basis. But this is episode 35. And, you know, again, we're from Gremlins Media. We're Buzzer Beaters. This is Eddie Aparicio and Anthony Tuan Corral. We're also known as the Cisco Kids. You can find us on gremlinsmedia.com. You can also find us on popular podcast outlets such as Rumble, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Google, X, any of those that you can find us. You can find us as long as you went ahead and call out gremlinsmedia.com. But there you have it. This is our show for the week. Thanks for participating. Those of you who stayed and listened and we're here live every week, Wednesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We like to hear your comments. So please continue to tune in, and we appreciate your commentary and feedback. And this is Buzzer Beaters, and we're going to go ahead and sign off.